Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. And my co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He is a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Well, I don't know what to poke you about, but I guess I should first say good morning, Stone.
Well, good morning, sir.
We could talk about, this is our third week in Rome. We could talk about the open house, or we could talk about your little trip across the pond next week.
Well, that's right. I got to brush up on my English.
Your British English, right?
But, you know, being here at Rome is fun for so many reasons, not the least of which is now. The minute I get here, I get my coffee, people come and they start pitching me shows. And we have official hours here for people to come in and pitch shows, but still, it's fun. It's just everybody here is very high energy. They're all entrepreneurial. They're trying to get something off the ground. And now I'm a little bit of a rock star because I'm the radio guy, and they come, hey, I got an idea for a show. It's fun, man.
It's fun. And we probably should say to people who are listening, whether live or later on with the MP3 file, that when we're talking Rome, we're not talking Rome, Georgia, or Rome, Italy, unfortunately. We are, but fortunately, we're talking about Rome, the business cafe at the intersection of Windward Parkway and North Point Parkway.
Yeah, this is a really cool place, and they have their own radio show called Rome Radio on Thursday mornings. We had our inaugural broadcast for them last week.
Great.
And then tomorrow at 10, they'll be back up.
I remember why I was here last Thursday meeting with a client, and I watched them kind of march step into the office with this deer in the headlight look. You know, I thought, they're off to their first show. Well, hey, there we go again. You and I could talk forever, and that's not a good thing. Well, it is, but not this morning. Let's get into the show. Today's theme takes us into one of the core concepts of Right Here, Right Now, as we discuss our perspectives and experience that writing a book has had on business. Vince Rogers is the principal change agent with Vince Rogers and Associates, a company that works with businesses, nonprofits, and high-achieving individuals to formulate winning success plans for reaching their desired destinations. And I'm fascinated with this. Vince uses blogging to promote his business and to share challenges. And then he did the really wise entrepreneurial thing, and he created a book out of the best of his blogs, The Very Best of Disguised Limits. What a title. Well, we're going to really do, Vince is our only guest this morning, and that's a great thing. He gets a lot of airtime, but the challenge is he's got to keep you and me from talking, Stone. But we're going to try a round
table. We haven't let him talk yet.
I know. We've been pretty good so far. But what we're going to do is kind of go as a round table discussion, because Stone has written a book and is in the process of revising it with the intention of impacting his consulting work even more. So finally, welcome and good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Dr. Tim, as well as Stone, and congratulations on your book, Stone.
Thank you, sir.
It's been fun working with him on that. So, your principal mode is writing a blog. How did you get started blogging, and what is your purpose in blogging?
Well, when I first started the blog, I was actually, you know, mostly interested in just trying to monetize the blog, as a lot of people are trying to do these days, to, you know, blog, you know, in order to make money. And that's, you know, I've achieved that also. But I really got really in tune to really trying to share my knowledge with everybody, share my knowledge and wisdom with people. And I actually find that very exciting to, you know, share the concepts and things that I have learned over the years in business with other people. It actually allows me to teach those things to other people or share those things with other people. And it also reinforces it with me in my daily practice. So it's been a twofold thing, that it's actually been a benefit to me as well as a benefit to the people I...
Well, did you feel intimidated or overwhelmed or a combination thereof when you set out to do this? Because the reason I ask this is, you know, I'm a professional writer. I'm a writing coach. I do not blog. And people are just astounded, but I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. It's the, oh my goodness, I got a blog. How did you move yourself into that?
Well, one of the things that helped me along that path, that I would call it, not necessarily call it a transition, because I'm actually a pretty prolific creative writer. I've been published in dozens of magazines, newspapers, as far as creative writing. So I've written poems, short stories, essays. I've presented scholarly papers at universities such as Vanderbilt University. So I already had a pretty prolific background as far as the writing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, translating the writing skills to imparting my business knowledge was the challenge, I guess, as far as that's concerned. But that actually, like I said earlier, that really was a twofold thing. It helped me solidify what I knew and what I, you know, was seeking to teach people or consult people, you know, to as far as my knowledge base. And so it allowed me to solidify that for myself as well as impart that to my clients.
If you're putting it in writing for the world to see, you better know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. So it proves to you that you know what you're talking about, and it proves to them that you know what you're talking about.
So what is it that you know that you're talking about in your blog? Was that blunt enough?
We could have a 5-minute interview if you asked me that question.
Well, I know that. That's why I didn't. So, in other words, talk to the folks about your business, what it is you do, and what you're trying
to
help them understand.
Well, a number of things. I'm talking to people about various opportunities as far as business, sales leads, and so on and so forth that they can use for their own businesses. I'm teaching people about basic branding and marketing and success planning fundamentals. I've also, you know, myself, I identified 6 keys to success that I, you know, I think that a key to every successful enterprise, successful endeavor, or just becoming a successful person in general. You know, those are confidence, capital, contacts, initiative, information, and image. So
did
I talk
I hear
a lot.
That? Those are 3 C's and 3 I's.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I didn't set out to do that. It just kind of worked out that way. So once again, like I said, it's confidence, capital, contacts, initiative, information, and image. And so I talk a lot about those 6 topics. You know, as far as they relate to personal as well as professional success planning.
Well, confident is, you've got to have that, right?
Absolutely.
That's number one. And capital is money?
Yes.
Contacts, people you can work over for leads and referrals?
Right. Well,
work over?
Well, that, you know, that's my bias, right? That kind of slipped in there. Man, he's paying attention. Help me here, Vince.
Well, I see contacts more so as, you know, having a network of, you know, people that you can rely on to, you know, basically further whatever enterprise you have.
Mm-hmm.
Align yourself with the best and brightest of people, subject matter experts in their field, who allow you to basically multiply your efforts, you know, because you can never learn everything that you need to know or you would like to impart to a client or whatever, but you can definitely align yourself with the best and brightest of people so you can make sure that you deliver, you know, the most you know, viable product or solutions to your clientele. So contacts is very key to that because, you know, it allows you to replicate your efforts, to replicate your knowledge base so that you can, you know, give the best solutions to your potential clients.
Let's dig into that a little bit more. What intrigues me about that is, you know, where I jumped in right away was networking and having the people that, okay, so I said work over, so that we can side up to and help each other with referrals and what have you. But you have that concept, but even a greater one. Do you find that people, that your clients struggle with that piece? What comes to my mind is there are some professionals that just can't accept the fact that they don't know everything and that it's okay not to know everything, that
absolutely,
you need contacts like that. How do you address that misgiving in people?
Well, I let them know that you know, I basically make them, you know, very confident about my particular expertise or knowledge base or what I can bring to them. But I also stress to them that Vince Rogers and Associates is actually a network of associates. I have allied myself with, you know, around, you know, the nation, the world, the city. I know some of the leading people in various technical expertise areas that I can bring to them. Because I can, you know, in their own business, they, you know, they should see, you know, that they don't actually know everything they need to know on a daily basis to, you know, get their job done. They rely on their coworkers, their manager, so on and so forth. And it's the same thing as far as furthering, you know, your business or furthering your enterprise and getting to the top. You're going to need other people. You're going to definitely need to know other people to get the job done. So I make them comfortable to know that I have not only aligned myself with other people that I can that can help me further their enterprise, but they're among the best and brightest people available to them, and I make them as available to them as they are to me.
As they are to you. Well, part of that too is wise use of resources, so that, you know, one of my mentors once taught me that I may be able to do a particular task, but there may be somebody who can do that task a whole lot cheaper and a whole lot faster than what would be my actual fee if I did it and paid myself.
Sure.
And so wise leadership, wise entrepreneur, business management is to be able to identify what you should do and shouldn't do in terms of, I'll hire that one out. Is right? You cover that with your people?
Absolutely. One of the things that, you know, one of the reasons a person or a business even should come to a consultant rather than go in-house to one of their employees is that for one job, you can only hire one person, and they may or may not possess the skills that they need to, you know, to, you know, finish a project, mm-hmm. or or whatever. But going to a consultant actually allows you to hire somebody who has an expertise in the one thing that you need to get done right now. So I can allow myself to, in every phase of the project, I have the assistance of somebody who is the best at what they do to get the one thing done that needs to be done right now for every step of the project.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, it's like going to the mechanic that has that one wrench that you don't have, and it's a $28 repair, and it's a $300 wrench, and that guy's got that wrench. Even though you might could with time and energy, and you're smart enough to figure it out, it doesn't make dollars and cents, right?
The economies of scale just don't, you know, make, yeah. It doesn't make sense for you to buy that, you know, every tool you need to fix your own car. So that's why mechanics, certain professionals, you know, even allow it to exist, because they have the tools that you just don't.
Well, I got you bogged down on the C's, and I did that to learn more. So let's move into the I's, okay?
Sure.
I can't, and I forget them now, so go at them slowly for me.
Initiative?
Initiative, get up and get out and get going.
And just having a plan. I mean, having a plan, a lot of people, you know, either possess or acquire the other five skills. And, you know, so many businesses that go forward, you know, in our world, they actually never, you know, slow down and do take that step of actually creating an actual plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so an actual plan is invaluable. A lot of people think they can do without it. And if they had one in place, they would see that, you know, it's really the most vital aspect of, you know, the guidepost you need to have a successful enterprise.
That's good. I like that word. It's a guidepost, because if you have a plan, then you know whether you're working it or not. If you don't have it written down, you can never be tested. But then you also don't know if you're making progress, right?
Yeah, actually, and you know, initiative, that I initiative, that's actually the one I that I, you know, have done the less writing about,
mm-hmm.
because I guess actually I'm, you know, I want to do the whole process of showing you, putting a plan together for you, so I don't mm-hmm. really share as many of the planning aspects of the six keys as mm-hmm. I, you know, as the other five. But a plan is, you know, basically centered around good research, sound planning, effective strategy. And that leads to a success plan.
Okay. So then what's your next I?
Image.
Ruh-roh. Hey, I wore slacks today and socks.
And shoes, too.
And I wore a tie to be on the radio. Oh.
Nice.
Well, you look
nice.
Good. You look really good.
Thank you.
So image, branding, or help us understand image.
Well, image, every aspect of your enterprise and yourself, you should want to go out into the world every day and have that represent you the way you want to be represented on a day-to-day basis. A lot of people, you know, you don't necessarily have to be on all the time, but you should, you know, definitely carry yourself in a certain way and have the tools in place. Like, a lot of people approach you and they can impart, you know, information about what their business is or what
mm-hmm.
they do,
mm-hmm.
and you say, you know, you have a business card, and they say no. That you have a website, and they say no. So you should have that image, you know, package in place. And you should also represent to the people you come in contact with that you have the expertise and the ability to do what you say you do on a daily basis.
He was so nice. Did you notice, Stone? He didn't then go on to the next logical one. And do you blog? And Tim says, no.
Well, I'm interested because you obviously have consciously chosen not to blog, at least for now. What's holding you back? Is it time? Is it fear that you can't come up with something every day or every week? Or what's holding you back?
I think Freud would like this one. But really, the best explanation I can come up with is I take writing so seriously, and not that others don't. as I've said on many shows, I spent 25 years in ministry. And so I had the weekly sermon to write. And I had week or monthly newsletters to write. And everything I wrote had to go out to public. And everything I wrote had to be really, really tight. And I just, all of that comes together when I think blog. Okay, and I have the choice. I don't have a committee sitting over me saying you will. And so I say, no, I won't.
So you feel like you have to hold yourself to a higher standard. Yeah. Well, you know, I wondered about that. I finally made the investment and got a suit cut for me a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that calls on me to come and measure me, and well, he's got to show up, or at least he feels like he does. He never shows up in jeans or casual. He shows up looking dressed to the nines. Yeah. Every time I see him, you know, he's wearing $1,000-plus suit. And I think he feels like he has to hold himself to that standard. You feel the same way about writing then.
That's it. That's a good way to describe
which
it.
Which does require a great deal of energy and investment.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
but, Vince, you have found writing a blog to be a tremendous help for your marketing, all those C's and I's, right?
Absolutely. Just the writing of the blog, you know, touched upon earlier, it solidifies in my mind the concepts that I want to emulate to people or intimate to people. And also, it allows me to reach a broader, I can't make, 100 presentations every day or 1,000 presentations every week, but I can impart this blog to 1,000 people, through the blogosphere, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, more people that I can actually reach myself. Once again, it's a question of replicating efforts and replicating, your resources. So a lot more people than I can reach more people with this blog if it's, distributed correctly than I can by making, a lot of personal presentations. So.
And how often do you blog then? How often do you put a new one out there?
I try to blog conscientiously a couple of times a week. And also kind of I've had lulls because of projects, and I actually write a lot of full length articles for business journals. I'm also the personal brand examiner at examiner.com. So that's something I do regularly also. So between actually working on client work, I have to actually do that from time to time. So
imagine that. We know something about that, don't we?
Well, you more than me.
I would spend my days, at other pursuits if I didn't have to. But I try to, do it conscientiously a couple of times a week. When the spirit hits me, if an idea pops in my head, I start actually in just preparing for this interview. And I read the book a couple of times myself last night. And I actually did two blogs last night because there were some concepts that I had not already presented as blogs before that I felt like needed to be put out there last night. So I actually did two little small blogs last night.
Well, see, isn't it amazing? That you get to come on a radio show and you do your homework.
Absolutely.
And you get some stuff out there. That's sweet. But you see, what you lifted up there is... You talk about you try to get it out twice a week. If I were to do that to myself, there would be no trying. It would be, okay, Tim, you said it would be out there. It's going to be there. And that's where it becomes a burden for me in addition to the level of writing. And I'm being rebellious in my old age, I guess, is what it comes down to. Well, how did you move then to determine the very best of disguised limits? Let's talk about what are the disguised limits. And I assume that what you did is you chose your best blogs.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, I'm a big advocate of social media, Facebook, Twitter, so on and so forth. And I got invited to join. It was pretty randomly. I got invited to join a Facebook group called Write a Book in 30 Days. And I just thought that concept was fascinating. I was like, how do you do this? Well, how if you haven't already have a lot of material prepared, mm-hmm. how can you mm-hmm. write a book in 30 days? And I didn't write my book in 30 days the way that they actually suggested, because there's a service you can use to actually transcribe information, and then you can compile that into a book. But I said to myself, well, I already have all this material already in place, so I decided to go ahead and sift through all my blog entries and find the very best of those, and that's how I decided to go ahead and put out a book.
And see, that's a good way to do it, and when I work with my writing clients, well, first off, and you've talked about this in your website and your blog, that writing a book, writing a blog helps establish your authority in your field, and that's a critical piece. But then you can take what you've done and create something more, another income stream, if you will. So you've taken your blogs, made a book, and how do people get your book?
Well, the book is available through Lulu.com. It'll soon be available on Amazon.com. You can buy it at Lulu.com, or you can download it for free. And actually, because of it's been, you know, there's been press releases written about it and so on and so forth. So it's actually available on a lot of platforms now. I know there's a one called Trading Master, if I'm not mistaken. It's a an options and investment trading website, but they've actually made the book available. I'm not absolutely certain how they came to know about it, but it's available in various places around the web. It's available, I think it's called getfreeebooks.com. But if you Google or search The Very Best of Disguise Limit, it's pretty it's available in several outlets. It can only right now be purchased, the hard copy version, at Lulu, but it can be downloaded for free at various platforms.
So I want to hear more about what do you mean by disguised limits?
Well, disguised limits, of course, it's kind of a play on words of disguise the limits. If you say it fast,
oh, okay.
It'll even sound like it.
Oh, okay.
And I determined that, you know, we, you know, in business and in our personal success, our search seeking, you know, success in our business and personal life, that a lot of times we see limitations. I say the challenges are limitations, opportunities disguised as limitations. A lot of times that one thing that we think is just the thing we can't overcome, you know, that's going to, you know, stop us from just pursuing a endeavor altogether. If you can overcome that one thing, then the doors just kind of seem to open to pursue the everything you ever thought you imaginable. So once you get over that one hurdle that seems like it's a limitation, typically you tend to go on to just, you know, unfounded success.
And that so what you're saying is a limit then is really a challenge that you can overcome. And in that sense, if we look at it as a limit, it's a disguised opportunity.
Absolutely.
Well, you were talking about initiative a little bit earlier in the conversation. And I think if there's a failing in the businesses that I've been involved with, it has been that other issue of not planning properly. But one thing I think that the businesses I've been involved in that we've all typically done a pretty decent job of is we've thrown our hat over the fence and done something, even if it was wrong. And my observation is, and particularly talking with young people who feel like they've got a great idea, you know, I typically counsel them, you know, do something, take an action. If nothing else, you'll learn what doesn't work. But is that just me and my bias, or do you find that a lot of would-be successful entrepreneurs aren't because they fail to take action?
Well, that ready, fire, aim strategy, it has worked. It can work. But I feel like there's nothing that replaces actually, you know, having a solid plan. If you develop your expertise, you define your target market, and you deliver to your customers consistently, and can deliver quality to your customers consistently, that's the preferable approach. You know, ready, fire, aim, it can work. I wouldn't suggest
you wouldn't go that route, would
absolutely.
You?
Sounds like I could use some Vince counsel.
probably. Well, what I like about what you said, Vince, is what it lifts up what I do with my clients. And in sales or in any kind of business, you know, the importance of who is your target? Who are you going after? What are you doing? And in writing, and you know this from your blog itself, you have to have a target market. You have to have a target audience. And so often my clients will say, well, I'm writing for everybody, and that, you know, that gives me another gray hair, and I don't need more. People have to understand, if you write to everybody, you write to no one. If you market to everybody, you market to no one.
Certainly, and that's a lesson I'm still learning myself. I mean, I'm still perfecting, you know, really trying to define and whittle down, for lack of a better word, my own niche.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, you want to be, you know, as targeted as with anything as you as you possibly can. I mean, if you go into a nightclub, you don't shout out, I want a date to the whole club. You kind of eventually identify a target market.
Yeah. I like that image.
What a great idea. So how do you go about your day-to-day marketing? I mean, it's great that you've been on a couple of radio shows, and I'm sure that's helpful, but you strike me as the kind of guy that has a very structured approach to go into market. Would you share some of that with us?
Well, one of the things, networking itself, is a big thing for me. And once again, I'm trying to be targeted in that also. I don't necessarily, I've heard people say that, you know, you shouldn't really turn down, you might look at an event or an opportunity to network that, you know, you say, well, I don't, nobody's going to be here, so on and so forth. So you don't, you choose not to go. And that very well might be the case, but typically you'll always, if you know your own agenda, you know, having an agenda that you already, you know, have kind of solidified in your own mind, if you have an agenda, you'll eventually attract somebody to you that you need to meet or that, you know, you, or that you benefit from meeting regardless of where you go. So networking is one of the big things I do as far as marketing. And but like I say, the blog and the books and so on and so forth, those actually are some very, you know, those are very important tools for me.
Do you have a challenge in convincing your clients that they are authorities?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you have trouble convincing your clients that they are authorities?
I think most of them tend to believe that, you know, they, most people set out in business because they kind of feel like they do have, you know, they are the they want to be the head honcho. Uh-huh. They feel like they are a leader. They feel like they are, you know, giving something to the world that is, you know, of vital importance. So that's not necessarily, you know, the challenge. The challenge is to get them to see that they don't necessarily have to be run of the mill, that they, you know, don't have to continue to run in the middle of the pack, that they do actually need some sort of expertise or some to be introduced into the idea of, you know, maximizing their resources, maximizing or the reach of their message, so on and so forth, defining their niches, the things that, you know, will take them to the next level. The challenge is really not to, you know, everybody, you know, once you get a business up and running and it's somewhat successful, I mean, most people think they've kind of reached the top of the hill. They start to kind of coast, and then they start to kind of, as often happens, to start sliding back down the hill again. So, you know, to actually convince them that they need other resources, other, you know, things to actually take them to that over the top of the hill, you know, to where they're actually coasting on the way down, you know, is kind of the challenge. Not getting them to believe that they, you know, they are the big cheese or the head honcho or whatever.
I'm glad to hear that. That excites me because see, I take the approach as a writer that we all have our own unique view of the world, just as all individuals do, but that unique view makes us an authority on our perspective. And that's what we bring, whether as an entrepreneur, business leader, marketer, writer, whatever. And we need to own that. And people seem to be able to do that until you say, okay, write a plan, right. Write a book.
Because in your analogy, you either have command of the story or the technical expertise or ability to actually impart the story. A lot of people have the ability, a lot of people think they're going to be great writers because they've got perfect grammar, but they don't have command of story. And a lot of people, you know, who have command of story, you know, to consider the bar to tell a great story, can't write it. So, you know, knowing which one of those, you know, skill sets you need to hone to take it to the next level, you know, is everybody's challenge. But everybody definitely does have a story.
I think I know which one of those is me. I have a pretty good feel for it. And my editor here could probably tell you which one is me.
And I didn't even pay Vince to make that comment, which is really sweet. You know what? We stopped you mid-eye. I think we still have number six to go, don't we?
Yeah, that was information.
Information.
Yes.
That's all-encompassing, isn't it?
Well, information is a twofold thing. You want to, you know, acquire the best information by, you know, doing a number of things, mm-hmm. doing good research, asking the right questions, asking, you know, the right questions to the right people. I mean, a lot of people seek out, you know, they do kind of informal focus groups or whatever. If they ask, you know, the next five people they come in contact with a question, they think that's research. But asking, you know, targeted questions to the right people, you know, asking good questions, doing good research, and, you know, basically get you the answers you need more so than, you know, trying to, you know, just because you have a question and you ask it, you know, to someone doesn't mean they're the person you need to be asking the question. But the other aspect of that is in far as information is becoming, you want to try to become known as a trustworthy subject matter expert in your field. Mm-hmm. So you ask the right questions, you know, that you need to ask to gain information you need to further your enterprise. But you also want to ask, you know, you also want to yourself acquire the knowledge through whatever means, through, you know, actual academic learning, reading your books, subscribing to periodicals, so on and so forth. However you need to do it, you need to try to become a subject matter expert, a trustworthy subject matter expert in your field.
I like that concept. Stone, are you a trustworthy, knowledgeable person in your field?
I'm trustworthy and knowledgeable in my field, yes, because I have carved out a very specific niche in a little tiny sandbox. But yeah,
but you have, and that's a critical
piece.
I do.
I know a whole lot about a one little bitty thing, and it's, you know, it makes the rent and it beats the heck out of working. So.
There you go. There you go. Well, Vince, how can people contact you? They want to learn more about what you do or maybe even retain your services. What should they do?
Sure. Well, the address to my website is vincerogers.biz, vincerogers.biz. I can be reached by email at vincerogers@vincerogers.biz. You can also go to the blog, which, you know, was the which led to the book. Mm-hmm. It's called Disguise Limits. It's Disguise Limits at blogspot.com or disguiselimits.blogspot.com. And also, you can reach me via Google Voice from the site as well as the blog.
You are eminently reachable then, right? And that's probably part of what you teach and coach. That's great. And again, how can folks get a copy of your book?
Well, once again, the book is called The Very Best of Disguised Limits. It's available at lulu.com, either to purchase there or to download free. And if you search The Very Best of Disguised Limits, it's available to download free. Through various platforms.
Okay.
And it'll soon be available on Amazon. That's a kind of a sticky thing with me right now because it should have already been there weeks ago.
Oh, but it's going to be there, and that's all that matters. And Lulu, by the way, is spelled LULU.com. Well, as happens every week, the clock is on us, and we welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Stone, for co-hosting and keeping me on track. I wish you well when you're in London next week. We'll miss you, but go for it, my friend. And thank you to our guest, Vince Rogers. One more time, Vince, your contact information.
vincerogers@vincerogers.biz. And all the contact information is available through vincerogers.biz or at disguiselimits.blogspot.com.
Great. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, spelled W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week. Tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at rightherewrightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business, right here, right now.